Our next guest is Mr. Jim Wahlberg. Jim serves God through his writing, speaking, filmmaking, and community service. He is the executive director of the Mark Wahlberg Youth Foundation, which was created to improve the quality of life of inner city youth through a working partnership with other organizations. Jim is a producer, writer, and director of films, and uses his talent and experience to raise awareness about opioid addiction. He is the author of The Big Hustle and executive producer of Mother Teresa, No Greater Love. Jim has been married to his wife, Benny, for 28 years, and they have 3 children. Today, Jim will share with us his own story of addiction and redemption.
Good morning. Good morning. Oh, I love doing that. Wow, it's such an honor and a pleasure to be here. And for those of you that heard me speak yesterday, I apologize. I may repeat myself a little bit from yesterday, and I may also put my hat on at some point because it's freezing out here. Who's cold? Yeah. But who feels the love of the Lord? Yes, sir. Beautiful. You know, I was in back because it's warmer back there than it is out here. And I was in prayer, and I had a priest come and pray over me, and I was waiting for the Holy Spirit to arrive because I wanted to see what the Holy Spirit had in store for me today and what I might speak about today. And then I was listening to the previous speaker, Elvis Gerback, and he was talking about young people, and he was talking about the way we interact with young people, the way we treat young people, our children, or any young people, and the things, the tools that we give them. And I instantly knew that the Holy Spirit arrived because the things that he was talking about, I experienced firsthand. I was not lifted up. I was not introduced to a loving God. I was not introduced to our faith in a real meaningful way. And because of that, I drifted. And I drifted to what some might call the dark side. You know, I was in the streets. I was drinking alcohol at a young age. 12 years old, I ran away from home and was homeless. I was doing hard drugs. I was getting arrested on a regular basis. And, I think about being sent to Mass. Right? Because that's what it was. My parents never took me to Mass. On Sunday morning, they opened the door, out came the foot, and everybody that was old enough to walk down to St. Gregory's in Dorchester walked down to St. Gregory's. And the rest stayed home. My parents stayed home and rested. There were 9 of us. And we all went in 6 different directions. And we all ended up at St. Gregory's Church. We all got our bulletin, and then we all headed to Walsh Park to watch the cops play softball. None of us ever stayed for Mass. And the 1 or 2 times that I did stay for Mass, because I wasn't introduced to a loving God, because nobody ever explained to me that Jesus died for me, the few times that I did go to Mass, I was overwhelmed with shame and guilt. And I always felt like everybody else in the church, they were holy people, and I was the only real sinner in the room, and I was the worst sinner in the room. You know, and I carried that shame, and I was raised with a God's gonna get you kind of a mentality, which is a terrible thing to do to a child, because I spent years trying to run away from what I was sure was gonna be God's punishment on me, and the way I ran away from that was by consuming more alcohol, consuming more drugs, becoming, you know, I was in full flight from reality, if you will. I ended up in and out of juvenile detention. I ended up in and out of foster care. I ended up in and out of group homes and homelessness. And ultimately, at 17 years old, I was convicted of a crime and sent to state prison. And I was just a little kid, 17 years old, in state prison with murderers. And I was just so consumed in what they thought of me, You know, I was so consumed in trying to convince them that I was something more than I was, that I was tougher, that I was crazier, that I was dangerous, that I was all these things so I could survive. And ultimately, I was just petrified. I spent 5 years in prison. I spent 5 years trying to convince other people that I was something that I wasn't. And I got out and I went right back to alcohol. I went right back to drugs. And within a month, I was homeless again. Within 6 months, I was back in prison. And I was doing 6 to 9 years. The only thing I knew is I couldn't do 9 years. Because if I had to do 9 years when I get out, I would be older than 30, and that's prehistoric. I started to do some things to try to create an illusion that I was trying to become rehabilitated. And a great man took notice of me, a Catholic priest. His name was Father James Freitas, and he was the prison chaplain at MCI Concord on Route 2 in Concord, Massachusetts. And he approached me and he said, "I hear good things about you. You're Jim Wahlberg, right?" And I said, "Yes, Father." And he said, "I have a job opening in the chapel. Would you be interested?" And instantly, I thought about all the benefits that there were in it for me. I didn't think about, oh, I'm going to go to Mass. I'm going to be at the foot of the cross. I thought, oh, Father smokes cigarettes. Father has coffee. Father has a phone. You know, because there's an old saying that I like to use. I wasn't much, but I was all I thought about. You know, and so I was always looking for an angle. I was always looking for a benefit. After about a week or so of working there, Father came to me very excited and shared with me that Mother Teresa was coming to our prison. And I was like, wow, Father, that's amazing. Who's Mother Teresa? Because I probably didn't know who the president was either at that time because I was really damaged by all the drugs and alcohol. The way I found out how important it was that I called home and told my mom, and she repeated it to her mom. And it was the first thing I ever said that made any impression on my grandmother. And, you know, she wanted a rosary. She wanted, you know, help get a blessing, all this stuff. And I was like, oh, this must be a big deal. Ultimately, the day came and Mother Teresa walked into the prison. And that day changed my life. It was the first time in my life I experienced true humility. We processed in, and the cardinal beckoned her to come up onto the altar and sit in a special chair next to him, and she refused. And instead, she stayed on her knees with the inmates. And it confused me. I couldn't understand why was she on her knees with the inmates when she could be up there like a, you know, like a big shot. Like, this is all about her. And as we know, that Mother Teresa was never about her. She was always pointing to Christ. And when she got up and she spoke, she said things that changed my life. She said things I never heard before. She told me that Jesus Christ died for me. She told me that I was more than the crimes that I committed, that I was a child of God and that God loved me. And these words confused me because, as I said, I grew up with God's gonna get you. And I think about what Mr. Gerback was talking about, right? About the messaging. The messaging. I think about what would my life have been if I was introduced to Jesus Christ at that young age instead of searching for love in all the wrong places, in the streets. Mother touched me in such a deep way, and that night I didn't sleep. The next day I ran back to Father Freitas, and I said, "Father, I need to know more about this Jesus that she's talking about. I need to know about this God that loves me." And, you know, the memory's a funny thing. The way I remember it is he kind of laughed and checked off his little checkboard, like, got one, right? He was, the name of my book, the title is The Big Hustle. And that might give you the inference that I'm the big hustler. It was really Father James Freitas was the big hustler. He hustled me to the foot of the cross, and it changed my life. He showed me mercy and kindness. He showed me generosity of spirit. He gave me his time. He prepared me. Right away, he started to prepare me to make my confirmation. And he started to catechize me. And he didn't bring out a bunch of books and blow dust off them and put them down on his desk and start to open the books and teach me about the faith. He lovingly taught me from his heart. And he's the greatest man that I've ever known. He's in heaven today, and I pray for his soul, and I know that he's watching over me, and I know he's with the angels and the saints for sure. And I know that Mother Teresa was sent there for me. I have to believe that today. She was sent there for me because 30 years later, I was given the opportunity to make a film about her life. 30 years later, I was part of a team that got to introduce her to a whole new generation of young people. And the introduction is a beautiful introduction because Mother Teresa was such a sometimes confusing person, right? Because people that are not faithful, people that are way more liberal in their thinking, I'm being kind, loved her in spite of the fact that she was so ardently pro-life. And she protected life, and she took the opportunity when they were giving her awards, she would fearlessly call out the leaders of the world and talk about abortion. And it was just so powerful and so inspiring. And so when I get to introduce a new generation to Mother Teresa, and I talk about her kindness and her generosity and the way she cared for the poor and the forgotten and the thrown away, and we say, oh yeah, and she battled for life, you know? So we pull them in with her kindness and her generosity, and then we hit them with the truth about life. And so it's such a blessing. I also was asked to share with you that we have a new film that will be in theaters on June 4th, 5th, and 6th this year. It's called Jesus Thirst, The Miracle of the Eucharist. And I was approached by a great deacon out in Los Angeles, and he said, I want to make a film about the Eucharistic revival. And I said, I don't want to make that movie. And he said, well, what do you want to do? And I said, I don't want to evangelize outside of the church. I want to evangelize inside the church because 70% of the folks in the pews don't believe in the true presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. We need to address that. And I said, if we can do that, then I'm interested in making this film with you. And he agreed. And Father Don Calloway is in the film. Father Chris Alara is in the film. So many great priests and theologians, and we share some of the Eucharistic miracles, and we have a problem. We have a big problem in our church when we don't believe in the true presence of Jesus Christ. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here, obviously, but it's a problem. And so we're honored to take on that challenge. And so I encourage you, go to your theaters, June 4th, 5th, and 6th, Jesus Thirst, The Miracle of the Eucharist. And I want to say that I talked about Father Freitas and him preparing for me to make my confirmation. He prepared me to make my confirmation, and I got transferred a few times to different prisons, and he passed me off to the priest each time telling him, I have a special delivery, FedEx delivery for you, Jim Wahlberg, and this is where he is in the process of preparing for his confirmation. And, when I look back on my life, making my confirmation that day turned out to be the most important day of my life. Not only because I willingly came into the church, right, and professed my faith, but it also became the most important day in my relationship with my mother. My mother came to my confirmation, and for the rest of her life, she would refer back to that day as the day, right? She would say, Jimmy, do you remember the day? Do you remember the day when you were different and I knew you were going to be okay? Do you remember the day I knew you wouldn't go back to jail anymore? Do you remember the day? And she would bring that up to me on the most special occasions of my life, the birth of my children, my marriage, the death of my dad. I was blessed with the gift to be able to serve my mom at the end of her life. And it's such a blessing. I want to just say that nothing's too big for God. Only God can take a wretch like me and take all that ugliness and turn that into an asset so that when I sit down with the person struggling with addiction, I can talk to them from a perspective that they know I understand. So I want to thank you. God bless you. Happy, happy, happy Divine Mercy Sunday. And stay warm. God bless you.